I'm getting verklempt up here. I mean, Wayne quoted Les Mis and got me all up in my feels, and then Clara's reading scripture for us, and that's a big deal for me. We used to have Wednesday nights. We would have young men lead worship, just mumbling through songs. I'll lead one, yes. Some guy on the front row just has to start shouting the song. And I remember really early on, Clara said, "Can I lead a song?" I had to say no. And she said, "Why not?" And I had to say, "Duh, I have no idea." So I'm really just in a good mood. Forgotten the sermon, but I'm in a good mood. I had a friend of mine who was, he was my basketball coach when I was in sixth grade, which was tough for him to have to coach me at sixth grade, because I consider basketball part of my identity. That's who I am, you know. I'm predominantly a preacher, and then, you know, maybe a musician, and then baller, shot caller. You know, like that's what I am. That is just those are the things I love. But I wasn't great in sixth grade. I'm still not fantastic. But he had to coach me, so he knew me as a basketball player, knew me as a kid, and then I grew up and became a preacher, and I ended up preaching where he went to church. He had, in the meantime, become a Christian, married a Christian woman, and started attending this church. And I showed up and talked. He was one of my favorite people. His name was Mark. Mark is with the Lord now from cancer, but he used to say to me all the time, he would say, "Benjamin, preachers and coaches had the same problem. There's too much amateur competition." You figure that one out. I'm not going to parse that one for you. But I bet it's the same with everybody. Take a car into a mechanic and people lean. They've got signs on the doors in these shops that say, "Due to insurance reasons." That's not what the sign says. But it's for insurance. You can't come into the shop part. And you would think, oh, they don't want a car falling on me and me suing. But the reason it is because you're going to, if you're the type of person who just meanders into someone else's shop, they don't want to have to punch you and get sued for it. Because you're the person to be like, "Well, have you checked the thing in there? The road, you know, I know so little about cars, I can't even pretend to be that person." The chip clip. I don't know what the words are. I don't know anything about cars, so it'd be ridiculous for me to walk into a place and say, "Have you tried this?" "Well, of course they've tried it. I don't know any better." So for some fishermen on the shore who have been fishing all night and catching nothing. They've said this already. They say this throughout the story, but we don't know it at the very beginning. But hindsight's 20/20. We get to know their attitude. How many of you have fished all night and caught nothing? It's infuriating, isn't it? You're not ready as you're docking, as you're putting your boat in the trailer, or as you're walking up the hill to go home. You're not ready for some person to walk up and say, "Hey, have you tried a different way?" You're not in the advice-taking mood. Now, granted, we're rarely in the advice-taking mood, are we? Our predominant position is, "No advice, please, thank you." We're rarely in that state of mind to take advice. But especially when it's just a preacher on a shore telling me, hey, you know, it wasn't just casting and reeling. It's a lot of work. Cleaning your nets. And Jesus says, hey, why don't you try again? And Peter gives the best response. He said, teacher, we have been casting our nets all night. We have been attempting this, and not casually. This is our job. We have been trying this all night. But because you say so, we will try again. Now, Jesus tells them, I think, some pretty loony advice. Cast it to the other side of the boat. Now, can you imagine Peter, who knows how boats work and how fish aren't like, oh, there's a boat. We stay on this side of the boat, don't we? Know how fish work and know that this is not even close to good advice. It's not like, oh, I never thought of that. It's just the other side. Well, if the boat slowly swings this way, which side is the other side? I don't know. Water's weird like that, isn't it? Cast your nets on the other side. It doesn't make sense, but it works. And if you're a follower of Christ, there's a good chance that a lot of the things that you are called to do, because you aren't an expert Messiah, and Jesus is, a lot of the things Jesus calls us to do not make sense, but they work. It's because we're called to trust. Turn the other cheek is not practical advice. Again, it's, have you tried the other side? Giving up of self is not practical advice. It doesn't seem to work. Enjoying suffering, praying for your enemy is not practical. But Jesus, as Christians, we are to say, but Jesus, because you say so, we will do it. Because you say so, we will lessen ourselves. Because you say so, we will turn the other cheek. Because you say so, we will try the other side of the boat. I am aware, as a follower of Christ, that the commands of Jesus do not have to be filtered through my wisdom. They do not have to be filtered through your understanding. But Jesus lived a life that we are called to live as well. And it's as he lived that life, we lift him up and say, wow, look at what he did. And then he commands us to do likewise. And we say, yeah, but sometimes that doesn't make sense. Sometimes that's not, I don't know, that's not how the world works. You are rootin', tootin', Skippy, that's not how the world works. Sometimes I'm going to throw some Mark Hansen slang in there. That's not how the world works. But are we supposed to work like the world works? Of course that's not how the world works. Your poor net has been in the wrong side of the boat. Because we've been working like the world works. Loving your enemy, praying for those who persecute you. And in this particular instance, and this is where the roots really sink down into the soil of this story. Luke is writing to people of a different nationality than Jesus, than the followers of Jesus in that time. And we hear it clearly in Matthew when he says, go into all the world, into all the nations, and preach the gospel. Teach them what I've taught you, baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. We hear that call to go to the world in Matthew. But here, Jesus is asking them to fish in waters they are uncomfortable with, to cast out their net into unfamiliar territory. And I think sometimes we want to grow the church, but we want to grow the church casting our net into waters we've been casting it the whole time. The nets that have been not producing one after the other, but yet, my goodness, wouldn't it be nice to have more people like us? When sometimes the large catch that the Lord will provide will be in waters you're not used to. We are called to dip our nets into unfamiliar waters. To places we aren't comfortable with, places we haven't tried, to go into all the world and make disciples. And not just the parts of the world that make us comfortable, to the parts of the world we've tried today and we'll try tomorrow, but we're tired of not catching anything. So if you're a follower of Jesus and have been for a long time, and we want to make disciples, sometimes you're just wearing out the wrong side of the boat. I love it when someone has a good idea during my sermon. You audibly hear it. Isn't that nice? You're like, oh, ding, that's right. So if you've been following Jesus for a long time, maybe cast your net into unfamiliar territory. But maybe you're the type of person that you've never really been a part of a church. It's not really your thing. And you don't even feel like the church is for you. You are a valuable commodity to Jesus. And Jesus, from the very beginning, has been begging his followers to do something to step out in ways that make them uncomfortable, to cast their nets on the opposite side of the boat. If you're a fish on the wrong side of the boat looking up saying, why haven't they asked me to church? Jesus has been asking us to ask you, but we just haven't been doing it all the time. And we apologize for that, but you are of value no matter what your background is, no matter what your parents were like, no matter your language of origin, your country of origin, your skin color, your bank account. There is nothing in the world that makes you less valuable to Jesus. And when Jesus says, go, I'm going to make you fishers of men, he doesn't say, of particular kinds. Jesus calls us to reach out to people who aren't like us, to value people who aren't like us, to seek them, and to find value in them, and to love them like he has loved us. And even more importantly, like we know and are confident that he loves them. You aren't making God love people when you knock on their door or when you talk to them at work. God loves them. They just might not know it yet. Jesus died for them. They just might not know it yet. Yeah, they know Jesus died, but sometimes the way we do church makes it seem like, for a certain type. I'm just not a person on the right side of the boat. Jesus is telling you, you're worth it. You are indeed a catch. So whether you are a fisherman or a fish in this story, the value of the other side is of highest importance, and it doesn't feel natural to be around people who aren't like me. And as you know, there's a lot of people not like me. I'm so thankful. Johnny has Moderna 19 today. He got the vaccine and is out. He's fake sick. But I am so thankful. I think about a lot how I was the only minister in Teague, and I was the only minister for a long time in Mineral Springs, Arkansas. And that is a fight. Because I don't know if you know this, all churches still do all the same things. We all worship. We all have to figure out who's teaching what class. And when you're the only minister, sometimes they just say, good on you. And what's crazy is just because of the way I look, sometimes they're like, oh, and you can handle youth, right? Okay, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just, I like it. But you know that if I had a cane, they would be like, oh, he can handle youth. I need to have, yeah, that. But you just buy your, but I often thought about it in those terms. I thought about well, it would be nice to have someone to help with the things. But what's been really nice is y'all provided me with someone who's weirder than I am. That I get to be around, and I have community. That brings me all sorts of joy. And that he's like me, that's fun. But it's when we get in those uncomfortable positions and God's saying us cast the net anyway. And but they're not like me. Well, have you tried the other side? Because there's a whole bunch of fish over there that you haven't even been searching for. So when someone's not like you, Jesus is calling you to cast that net of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and hope and unity to them. And it may not make sense all the time, but we will do this because God says so. Because Jesus told us to. Faith is not a cognitive decision where I believe really hard. I used to think that. I used to think belief was this thing like, yes, it's like a box you check, a switch you flip. And you say, I believe, yes. My belief is to yes. And something tough happens, beliefs to off. Huh? That can happen. But then people would say, you just got to have more faith. And I would think, how do you do that? How do I? But then Scott McKnight pointed out to me, not in person, and through a book, pointed out that that all those words, believe and faith, really could be all translated trust. Because it's the same word, and we throw believe and faith in there, and we kind of believe for us, like, I believe in Bigfoot. You know, like, you've ever met someone who's, like, really into that? Well, that changes their life. Like, it did me when I was 5, and I thought he was out there. But that belief is... The belief we're talking about in the Bible is a belief that says, Jesus calls me to do something, so I do it. I trust that what Jesus calls me to do is worth doing. When Jesus calls me to love my neighbor, to love my enemy, to love others like he has loved me, that might not make sense all the time. When Jesus calls me to forgive, that might not make sense all the time. But Lord, I've been trying this my own way all day. But because you say so, I will try it your way. And I guarantee you there are fish to be caught on the other. So maybe we can cast our nets and trust that God will provide when we take steps of faith, steps of trust. It's not we've separated obedience and belief, haven't we? Mainly because there's camps. There's like the obedience camp, like you gotta obey, and then maybe if you've done enough, you'll get to the pearly gates, and they'll check it off, and they'll kind of look at you and say, oh, that was close, but come on. And then there's like another, and us obedience camp, we don't understand believe camp, and we're like, well, how do you just, well, just think it? And it's, but faith is obedience. Faith is trust. It's a trust in what Jesus has done for us, but it's also this trust of falling backwards into the thing that God says you are safe to fall backwards into. Like, it's stand, you know, they used to do those old trust exercises, trust falls, you stand on a table. It was where youth group kids would injure themselves. And you'd say, just trust us, and then they'd like flip backwards because their head's too heavy for their bodies, and but like you can't just stand on the table and say, do you trust me? Yes, good job, good work, step down. It's the falling back that says, I trust Jesus enough to follow Jesus, to love like Jesus loved, to live like Jesus lived. I trust Jesus enough to turn the other cheek. I trust Jesus enough to cast my net to the other side. Because Jesus says so, I will love people who think differently than I do. Because Jesus says so, I will love my enemy. I'll pray for those who persecute me. Because Jesus says so, that when you are taking those steps, you can't just classify it as obedience. Because those are steps of faith in waters that have been unproductive when we've just done it on our own. So may we be the church that, because Jesus says so, we cast our nets to the other side. Into waters that are unfamiliar. And make those people feel that they are worthy of our attention. Make those people feel like they are a catch for the Lord. Let's pray. God, you are good and holy in all that we do in this place. God, may you cover it with your grace and your mercy and your wisdom. God, I know that as much as we talk about you and talk about your ways and talk about what you would have us to do, God, we are going to get it wrong. So have grace on our beliefs. Have grace on our thoughts. And even when we think we're being wise, God, it is foolishness to you. But God, help us not to get married to our way of doing things, but to trust in a trusting way. Because you say so, may our trust in you push us to do things that make us uncomfortable, that challenge us. May our trust in you change our lives and our day-to-day actions. God, fill this church with your Spirit and guide us faithfully to where you would have us go. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Oh God.